a serious insurgency.
We do have a plan. We're working on it.
Just to give you a sense of perspective. What's going
on?
What's
going on? On this Monday morning, the agenda is looking to be set by two events early in the week. The financial debacle brewing in Dubai is roiling the derivative markets this morning and bank balance sheets all over the world. And the Obama administration is finally going to roll out a strategy for the war in Afghanistan. Joining us for the agenda this morning is Marcus Mabry, as usual, international business editor for our partner, the New York Times. Good morning, Marcus.
Good morning.
And Nick Childs, BBC defense and security correspondent, joining us from Bush House in London. Good morning, Nick.
Hello there.
So I want to ask you about Afghanistan in a moment, Nick, but Dubai, Marcus Mabry, that must have had you working all weekend long.
Well, luckily I was on Thanksgiving duty at the Times, and so Dubai was my weekend.
This concern about a default in at least $60 billion of debt by Dubai, first of all, how much exposure is there around the world? Who should be worried? And I guess we're learning that there's a limit to how much sovereign oil wealth can finance things like Dubai's tallest building in the world project.
Well, it's interesting. You know, the problem is Dubai is one of seven United Arab Emirates in this federation, and they don't have much oil to speak of. Abu Dhabi, which is the richest and largest by far of the Emirates, they actually have tons of it. And if Abu Dhabi were willing to say, we're going to stand behind all that debt completely, $60 billion, which is mostly Dubai World, which is the kind of investment vehicle of the Emirate of Dubai, then it would be fine. But Abu Dhabi hasn't necessarily sent those signals, and the market's waiting for that. What we're really talking about here is not just Dubai, which is, you know, again, $60 billion in debt. It's largely kind of real estate to build, you know, the island shaped like a palm tree and the island shaped like the world.
Crucial matters for the world.
Exactly.
I mean, really important
deep
things
stuff.
That
exactly.
We need to do. Yeah.
But it was the most profligate of kind of all the big spending countries and companies even during the boom. That's not the issue, though. The issue is really a question of confidence. And what we're watching for this week as Wall Street opens is we're watching to see is will there be a crisis of confidence, the kind we had back in September of last year after Lehman went bankrupt and everyone suddenly thought, oh my God, I can't trust any money being out there at all. I'm going to pull back. That's what happened. That's what we're afraid of. And we'll have to see if it happens this week.
Another sign that in this interlocked economy, that crisis of confidence can come from almost anywhere.
That's right. It's a global financial system.
Nick Childs, a BBC defense and security correspondent. Barack Obama is going to roll out his Afghanistan strategy. What are NATO allies looking for from the president? And what do you expect roughly 30,000 new troops, which is what we believe is going to be announced, is going to mean for the battlefield?
Yes, John, I think it will be around 30,000. That seems to be the number people are talking about. I think it'll be a mixture, really. It'll be some for combat and some for training. And that is the key in terms of training the Afghan forces, because most NATO allies, and I think the president as well, will say, you know, that's the way forward, but it's also ultimately the way out. And that is an element of what people are looking for. They're not looking just for numbers, but also, the overall strategy, what the troops will be used for and how the process will move forward. And of course, NATO countries have been sort of hanging back saying, we want the president to show the lead first and then we'll see what we can do. Well, I'm sure the Americans, once Mr. Obama has made his pitch, will turn around to them and say, okay, it's over to you now. What are you going to do?
Well, indeed, Nick. Listen to this. I mean, there's kind of a vicious circle here. NATO waiting for the U.S., the U.S. wanting NATO to take more responsibility in Afghanistan. Here's Senator Bernie Sanders from Vermont. He's an independent. He's a bit of a lefty, but I think he represents the American position fairly faithfully here.
I've got a real problem about expanding this war where the rest of the world is sitting around and saying, isn't it a nice thing that the taxpayers of the United States and the U.S. military are doing the work that the rest of the world should be doing?
So what is NATO likely to do to upgrade its commitment?
Well, I think Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State, is traveling to Brussels for a NATO foreign ministers meeting later in the week, and she'll be saying, you know, essentially, we've done what you've been waiting for. We would like to see several thousand, probably, extra troops from NATO. That's going to be a hard ask, I think, but the British Prime Minister Gordon Brown has said he thinks maybe 5,000 is possible. It may happen over time, but it'll probably be in dribs and drabs. The Germans, for example, who are being asked to come up with some more, probably aren't going to make a decision until January, February next year. But clearly, I think the message will be this is a crucial test for NATO as well as it is for the United States, so everyone has to join in.
Nick Childs, BBC Defence and Security Correspondent. Thanks for that. He joined us from London, England. So Hillary Clinton has her work cut out for asking for troops over in NATO. She's going to be on Capitol Hill along with Defense Secretary Gates trying to explain the administration's strategy, and the health care debate begins this week. Marcus?
This is decision week for the administration. It's funny, you know, they're going to end the year the way they began it, which was with a big bang of policy announcements and problems. Everything from jobs this week, health care, Afghanistan, Iran's intransigence. This is going to be a week of big decisions.
You mentioned jobs. The jobs summit takes place this week, almost crowded out by these other huge issues. And this week, the numbers for November, the unemployment rate for November, is going to come out on Friday.
That's right. We would not be surprised if we saw unemployment, which already at 10.2%, the highest since the 80s, tick up maybe a point or a 0.0% or something, from like 10.2 to maybe 10.3. We're in a recovery. That kind of doesn't matter because people don't feel it. It feels like you're in trouble. You might lose your job. Paul Krugman has a really kind of stinging column this morning in the paper talking about how we're actually, if you're unemployed, it's going to take you longer to find a job now, more than 6 months, than at any time since the 1930s. Krugman goes on to call for an emergency jobs program. That will be the debate this week. Can the country afford an emergency jobs program, or should the administration do more to make it easier for business to hire?
And does a jobs summit take the sting out of 10.3% unemployment in the middle of the holidays? Well, let's contemplate that for a moment. But you had a story you wanted to talk about here. In Switzerland, the nation that brought us the cuckoo clock passed a ban on Muslim minarets on mosques over the weekend.
You know, minarets are the towers that are often used for calls to prayer. In Switzerland,
they're
not,
beautiful,
because Switzerland doesn't allow any, you know, noise pollution. So they don't even do that. There are only four mosques in Switzerland with minarets. This is really about integration, European fear of Islam, and it's going to play out a lot, I think, in the continent this week.
Well, thanks for alerting us to that. Marcus Mabry, international business editor for our partner, the New York Times. There's your agenda. Coming up, contributors Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen and Beth Kobliner join us to talk about something that's pretty real for them, finding a conflict-free diamond for the holidays.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.